A breakthrough believers. So in this chapter, we're going to deal with the prevailing mindset of breakthrough believers. It is this paradigm of and thinking patterns that frees the believer to act in the way that he should. Starting off in Proverbs 23rd. Well, let me say this first. We're talking about, you know, having a winning mentality. And I think that every believer, especially where God is taking us to, we should have this this winning mentality. I mean, you know, with winning, you know, there's always challenges. But the thing about it, though, you know, you always win. And so I think part of what Apostle is doing, you know, in teaching us to mature and to grow and that sort of thing and stuff, is always have a winning mentality. I always have a mentality, no matter what I'm going through, I'm coming out on top. I'm kind of no matter what's going on, I'm coming out on top. And, you know, the Bible says in Christ, we always triumph, not sometimes, but always. You know, we are more than conquerors. You know, we got scriptures upon scriptures. And so one of the things that we have to do, we have to meditate on the scripture so that scripture can become a part of it, part of us. And that's what meditation does. Meditation calls the scripture, you know, it's just like the cow that chews the cud. And he chews and he chews, and then he swallows, then he regurgitates it, then he chews it some more until it becomes a part of his digestive system. And so that's the way the word has to become, so that we're not just memorizing scriptures, but we live in them.
Amen.
And so it says here in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks within himself, so is he. And so if you think that you're a winner, guess what? You're going to always win. Wait a minute, I'm going to say this again. If you think you're a loser, you'll always lose. It's got something to do with, you know, the way you're thinking. The quality of our mentality often affects our perspectives, decisions, and our attitudes. So the prevailing thinking pattern allows the Holy Spirit's insight. That sometimes the Holy Spirit has said some things to me, you know, when there's a challenge that's going on in my life. And the Holy Spirit is talking to me about, you know, the victory in and all that. And at the time, you know, your mind is trying to tell you that, oh, you know, it's not going to be that way. But the Holy Spirit is always trying to show you that God is bringing you out of it.
Yeah.
You with me? And so we need to have the right this prevailing in our thinking patterns to allow the Holy Spirit's insight to be received effectively. The mindset of the Spirit is life, peace, not being hostile toward God. In Romans 8:6-7, it says, for the mindset of the flesh is death. Do you know you can be a Christian, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and still have a carnal mindset?
Yes.
Watch this. Not only do you have a carnal mindset, but you got scriptures, but the thing about it is you're not walking in none of them.
Right.
I mean, just carnal. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. So this renewed thinking pattern forms an excellent attitude for kingdom living. The Bible says that we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, according to Ephesians 4:24. And then the Bible talks about in Romans 12 that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that The thing that accelerates the renewing of our mind is meditation.
Yes, sir.
When you meditate, it accelerates the renewing of your mind. In other words, it carries you, it puts you on a fast track to getting what God is trying to take you to. But if you're not meditating, then guess what? You're just going to be putting along and not really getting nowhere fast. Philippians 2 and 5 says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Jesus. So breakthrough believers have a winning mentality that spreads over 7 areas of their lifestyle. All right. Number one, the area of witness. The breakthrough believer is a witness of all that he has seen and heard on a first-hand experience in his encounter with God. In John 6 and 68, Peter answered him, Lord, where should we go? You know, Jesus, at one time the disciples was leaving Jesus, you know, the 7 and 8, they left him. And so Jesus looked around and said, y'all going too? And then what Peter said, Peter answered and said, who shall we go to? See, they saw the evidence of Christ's ministry. They saw the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and that sort of thing and stuff. And so Peter said, where are we going to go? You know what I'm saying? One of the things that you have to always be aware of, no matter, just like a lot of disciples walked away from Jesus, Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And I said, wait a minute, what you talking about? You know, they didn't have a revelation, and it offended them. So I want to show you something. In Luke, show you something in Luke. If you're gonna have a winning mentality, one thing that you're gonna have to do, you're gonna have to stay away from being offended. You gotta stay away from offense. In Luke 7 and verse 19. Now watch this. And John calling. Now we all know that John saw John had firsthand experience of Jesus. But just look what happened to him. And John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look for another? Now, where did that come from? Now, John knew that there was evidence in Jesus' ministry. John was the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God who cometh to take away the sins of the world. Remember when he was getting ready to baptize Jesus, he heard the voice from heaven. John heard it. And so now John is in prison. And look what the scripture said. Now, John going to send his disciples to Jesus saying, are you the one that should we look for another? Now, this is the same John who the Lord had spoke to and told him that when Jesus come on the scene, he was going to decrease as Jesus increased, right? Okay, but the thing about it is, now at this time, John is in the prison. So it says, should we look for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured. See, this is the thing that had to happen. Jesus wasn't just going to talk. So they had to see a witness always, they got to see firsthand. So what happened here now, look what it says. In the same hour he cured many that were their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said unto them, John disciples, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. Say, now you saw it for yourself. Yes, you saw. See, a witness always, and that's one of the things that God is putting us in a position. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't walking with the rest of the disciples when they were walking with Jesus. But the thing about it is he had a revelation. Yes, he got a revelation of Christ. And in that revelation of Christ that he got, he became one of the most powerful apostles more than the ones that was walking with Christ. Praise God. So that was some things that he saw. That's some things that he saw by revelation. That's some things that he heard. So Jesus sending the telling them, say, go back and tell John the thing that you've seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead arise, and the poor is the gospel preached. And then he goes on to say, and blessed is he whosoever it shall not be offended in me. So John got himself in a position, and I want to, I'm talking to you all that's in the class, I'm talking to those that are online. One of the worst things that could happen is you to be following somebody and you see the evidence in their life, and you become offended. One of the worst things that could happen. Now, John was in prison, right?
Yes, sir.
Watch this. In the sixth chapter of Mark. Watch this. He in prison. He's offended. Jesus exposed him. Jesus said, tell him, blessed is he's not who's not offended in me.
That's right.
Verse 27. It said, and immediately the king sent and executed and commanded his head to be brought forward and beheaded him in the prison. Talking about John.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because you know, you go up in the 25th verse, you know, they talk about John. So John lost his head because of offense. You can't afford to become offended, especially when you've been walking with somebody and you see the evidence in their life.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, when I was meditating on that, the Lord said to me, he said, for me to say this, because some of you may be offended now, but the thing about it is, You need to repent, because all it's gonna do is make you lose your head.
Yes, sir.
You gonna, you're not gonna even be able to think straight. You know what I'm saying? John saw all these things that Jesus did. John should have been a witness. He should have been the first witness that, hey, this is the Christ. This is. But the thing about it is, because of their offense, it caused him. John, man, just start questioning. So now in 1 John 1:1-3, it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the word and the life was manifested. And we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was the Father, with the Father, as was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim unto you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. So this is what we, our experience that we have with God and walking with those who God has called us to walk with. That's some things that's supposed to happen in our life. That's some things that we're supposed to. You know, in its finishing generation, that's not, we're not supposed to try to recreate a will when that's already, the will has already been created. You understand?
Right.
And so all I need to do is get in line and follow the person who God has called me to follow, witness those things and see and understand. And then not only that, but began to walk in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he's handled the word of life and experienced eternal life here on earth. He's seen the invisible, heavenly dimension, manifest in the visible. That's what's supposed to happen to us. Heaven is supposed to be revealed through us. It cannot be just regular church, y'all. It cannot be just like Apostle was saying, denomination and that sort of thing and stuff. But it has to, God is trying to bring us back to the place where we walk in real power. We walk in real authority.
Yes.
And we walk, we're not a bunch of crybabies, you know, going through something and we got to call somebody. We need somebody to pray with them. No, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Don't allow nobody to call you in on a pity party.
Right.
I'm not going to be a part of your pity party. No, grow. It's time for us to grow up.
Yeah.
Like Apostle was saying, something you got a challenge going on and Apostle's out of town, you ought to just know how to deal with it.
Right.
No, no, no. He's taught me enough. I've seen enough.
Yes.
I've witnessed enough.
Yes.
So I can walk in it now. And that is, and that is the sign of maturity. So all things that have come into the visible realm from the invisible have come through Christ. And the Word was life. In the Word. See, that's why in my meditating, in my time of meditating, there's times when all of a sudden, something you didn't see, the lights come on. And all of a sudden, it's almost like you were there when it happened. It's almost like you become the scripture. It's almost like you walking in here. You walking in the scripture. This thing like you were walking. Not I won't say a walking Bible, because I'm not talking about somebody parakeeting and somebody that's quoting scripture. But there's a life of God that's in you.
Yes. Yes.
Because of this witness that's in you.
Yes.
A witness is one who has seen and heard when it happened.
Yes.
He was there when the incident occurred, experienced it firsthand, gives him power to testify. His testimony carries weight and is true. And so it says, in the court of law, witness testimony saves lives and defend the innocent. You know, if you're a witness, if you saw something, you understand what I'm saying? And guess what? You, especially if you were on the scene and you saw it, y'all with me? So a breakthrough believer, personal encounter with God gives him the authority to touch and impact lives by pressing into God so that he may know the truth and revelations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's one of the things that when the Apostle was talking about how, you know, he woke up and he got this flaming sword in front of him. The more you see God, the more experiences and encounters you're going to have with God. But if, see, it can't just be, the Bible say that the letter killeth, but the Spirit bring life. So we have to always put ourselves in a position where we're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the scriptures to us. Open it up to us. Let me see it. And see, once you see it, the only way that I can explain it is, it's almost like, you know, you read about Moses got a rod in his hand, that sort of thing and stuff. When you get a revelation, that rod come in your hand.
Right.
And you begin, and there's an authority, and there is an assurance, and there's an awareness of God like you've never had before. And you start walking in something that really you weren't able to walk in before, but by revelation, all of a sudden now, I mean, it's like you were on the scene when Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was talking to me.
Right.
Oh, shucks. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, watch this. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which ye have heard from me. Now, the Apostle Paul, teaching young Timothy here, he says, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, so it's always a passing of baton, always passing the baton. Not you just sitting here just getting full. You sitting here, you know, you come in the house, come to Word of Life, just get full, just get fat. No, you're not full. You're supposed to always be releasing what you're receiving.
Amen.
You're supposed to be always pouring what's been poured in you into somebody else.
Amen.
So that the next person can carry it on and carry it on and carry it on. I believe now more than ever, you know, Satan is trying to destroy the younger generation. And that sort of thing and stuff, because, I mean, now, I mean, in schools, man, they got all kind of stuff going on. They got so much drugs and things in high school and stuff now, because he knows that if he can stop the younger generation, see, that's why we can't be playing with it.
That's why
we got to walk holy. That's why we got to be consecrated. That's why we got to be sanctified. And that sort of thing and stuff. Man, it do something to me when I see folk just playing with God. You know what I'm saying? It just do something to me, you know, when I see preachers just act like, you know, the call is just, you know, just like a job or something. You know, like a 9-to-5 job or something. And then, you know, once you get off, then you just do your thing. No. This has to be your life. It has to be your life. You understand what I'm saying? So by fellowshipping with these believers, we can come into a deep encounter with God and Jesus. They become the choice instruments for God to penetrate the region and impact the lives of the people around them. Now, the second thing is the area of worship. That was the area of witness. This is the area of worship. Breakthrough believers are true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and truth. Worship is not centered around an activity, but around hearts reaching out to his throne. These believers know, and see, one thing about a winner, when you know you're a winner, I mean, you give God the praise. You understand? I don't have to just praise or worship God when things are good. But a real worshiper know how to go through the valley of the shadow of the death, still giving God the praise. Still glorifying God when they're going through hardships.
Yes.
You understand? Anybody can shout on a mountain,
on. Yes.
But can you praise God in the valley?
Yes.
Can you praise God while you're going through a challenge?
Yes.
Instead of complaining to God about, look what everybody else is blessed, but look what I'm going through.
Yes.
One thing that you got to always understand, I never look at what somebody else is doing or what's going on in somebody else's life. Because let me tell you something, that my experience being a cement finisher for years, I know that in order to build a structure, a big structure, you got to go deep. You got to go deep. You got to dig deep. Now, if you're going to do a one story or something like that, you can dig shallow.
Yes,
but if that's going to be a big structure, you got to go deep.
Yes,
and so, as a believer, you have to know that there's times when it look like nothing is going on in your life. It look like everybody else cutting up, doing all kind of stuff going on, you know, and you look and you say, well, what's happening to me? It's because they got a shallow foundation. And what God is building in you is so much greater. And so you're going to have to be able to wait until that foundation is ready. See, we never poured concrete. If it was a big building, they got so much time go into putting steel in, so much time go into backhoeing it out. See, with a shallow building, you just get a shovel and dig it out.
Right.
But with a large structure, so the thing about it is, it always takes more time for a bigger building than it does for a smaller building. And so what God is trying to do in your life is so much greater than, that's why you can't look next door and see what they're doing over there, because you're going to get thrown. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but you have to be able to worship and praise God where I am, on the way to where I'm going. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be able to worship him no matter what it is, what's going on around us, what's the challenge or whatever. We have to be able to worship him. So, these believers know that God is worthy. His worship is without question the supreme thought in their minds. God doesn't just deserve our praise, he's worthy of it. God is enthroned upon the praises of his lips. His worship builds a throne for God, who is invisible to come into the visible realm and manifest his power and glory. My God, hallelujah. I don't know, but it's just something about. Now, worshiping outside, with we in a corporate setting, worshiping in a corporate setting really not going to mean much if you're not worshiping in private. Hallelujah. Because God will see it as a performance that you're doing. Because your real worship ought to be between you and him. Not between, when we come together, we just get together and worship him. You understand? But there's something about when we get in the closet and we worship him. When you're washing the dishes, when you're driving the car, you're by yourself and you're worshiping God. There's something different about it. You understand? Psalms 22 and 3 says, "Yet you are holy. You are, O you who are enthroned upon the praise of Israel." The attitude of worship is formed by acknowledging that the truth that Jesus is worthy, despite what we think or feel.
Yes.
We are created to worship and not participate in worship only reveals the lack of kingdom purpose. They got some folk won't even come to church until the worship is over. They'll come dragging in, and sometimes they'll come to the door and you can see they're looking in trying to see if the worship over.
Wow.
It just showed that they have a lack of kingdom purpose.
Right.
There are many unacceptable forms of worship, like Cain, who chose his own standards of presentation to God in worship. But we are very convinced that the body and its expression of love and adoration must accompany the true spirit of worship. In Romans 12 and 1, it said, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So mental attitude and maturity are needed as we think of ways to honor him. Hallelujah. We are we have to there's times when I look at scripture and it talks about how creation preaches a sermon. All you have to do is you can just go out of your house and just look up, in the sky, look all around about you, and creation gonna really preach you a sermon about how great God is. And you can't really worship God until you know how great he is, until you understand how great he is. When the birds on the windowsill singing and praising God, it's a wonder. How in the world, all the animals, I thought about this, all the animals, God covered them with something. He covered the birds with feathers. He covered a lot of them, animals with hair. He covered fish with scales. And guess what he covered man with? No. He covered man with the glory.
Yeah.
If you look in scripture, it says how God covered him with glory and honor. Man had the glory on him.
Wow.
See, that's why he didn't have no clothes in the garden. He was covered with the glory of God.
Yes,
God's whole intention for creating man is so that we could worship him.
Yes,
that was his whole purpose of it. His whole purpose. The breakthrough believer's mind is centered on giving worship that is due his name. They don't just perform worship. They carry a spirit of worship. The believer's winning mentality is in this area of worship keeps the heart continually pliable and yielded to the Holy Spirit. So you got to remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to if your heart is hard, you're not gonna be pliable. You're not gonna be God. Not gonna be able to speak to you you're going this direction and then he tell you going in the wrong direction and you can change. But when your heart is soft, your heart is pliable. Guess what? You can make the turns and the shift that you're supposed to make. This next area is the area of work. The third area of the winning mentality is the area of work. Oh Lord. Breakthrough believers have a positive attitude towards work, but most people are allergic to it. Boy, some people can come up with some of the biggest excuse when they got something to do. Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, if ain't no work going on, you know, they'll be there for you. But oh, when the work starts, oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, you know, I forgot I had this to do, I had that to do. John 4 and 34, Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. The act of doing his will brings nourishment to our souls. It will cause the life of God to enable and refresh us. It will quicken our hearts with a greater desire to please him more as we yield our will to do his will. You know, that's what the apostle was talking about. He was talking about our preaching has to be more to change a person's will. Right. You know, if a person is going in the wrong direction, it doesn't do them any good for them to sit there and be entertained.
Right. That's right.
Unless their will is changed, they become convicted by the Holy Spirit and go another direction, then we've not been effective. By choosing to do his will, we release God to do a work in us. And when God's work is accomplished, the harvest is released upon our lives. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Apostle was saying that, you know, we're looking for God to do something for us, but we ain't really looking for God. And the thing about it is, see that's got to change. You know, praying, you know, and we got a whole list that we want God to do. But then when God tells us he wants us to do something, I remember being in the church, and boy, them old deacons would get down on their knees, and man, they send God to the hospital. They'll tell him what room to go to. You know, they'll call out the hospital's name, the person's name, the room, and the floor they were on. Say, they didn't say, God, go by and touch him. And the Bible said that we ought to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
That's right.
I said, my God, boy, they sure were sending God. So the harvest is brought forward. John 4 and 35 says, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. The harvest is brought forward 4 months ahead of the normal pattern schedule. There is a quickening grace and acceleration in the spirit to bring our harvest to us. Whenever God wants us to do his will and obey his word, he's seeking an opportunity to complete a work in us through us in the spirit. Then he'll send the harvest. The future harvest rushes toward us, so we don't have to run into the future looking for it. My God. Now, there's another aspect of work that motivates breakthrough believers, and it's the work of building apostolic base. They are consumed with the zeal of building a church. In the book of Nehemiah, we can see the zeal of God's people allow them to rise above every turmoil and limitation to build the walls of Jerusalem. Now that's something about those people. When Nehemiah was building those walls, they did everything they could to call them off and that sort of thing and stuff. And Nehemiah said, I ain't coming down. I got a work to do for God. You're going to always have distractions when God has a work for you.
Right. Yes.
Me personally, every place I went, I worked. I got in that vineyard. I found out what was in that pastor's heart, and I worked. I did whatever he needed because I wanted to make his job easier. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that if you're not faithful in that which is another man, who's going to give you that which is your own? And that's one of the things that a lot of believers, they're so caught up in their own thing. But you have to be faithful in that which is in other persons. My calling to pastor is a result of my being faithful in somebody else's ministry. I believe, you know, with everything in me that God knew that. And this is the thing. I was under three pastors. And I told y'all, you know, I was no renegade. I didn't go jumping and going on when I got mad and stuff. And every one of the pastors confirmed that God had called me to the next place.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I can tell you something else. Every pastor that I left said, after I was gone for about 7-8 years, get what they said. I never found anybody who was as faithful as you. We just hadn't found nobody. So, you know, you got some people who came pretty close. And guess what? Those were people that I trained after I left.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. See, everywhere I left, I trained somebody to do what I was doing while I was there. I didn't just go out and say, y'all do it the best way you can. I trained somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's why, you know, with what apostle does, that's why it's second nature to me. You know what I'm saying? It's second nature to me. I don't have no struggles. I don't have, you know, my wife was with me. She was with me in Washington, and she was with me when we went to South Carolina. And so, you know, she don't usually travel with my son. We've been doing some construction at my house. So my son has been staying behind and taking care of that. And so so we have to, you know, we have to drive a ways to get to the airport, from the airport to the hotel. Then we got to drive a ways from the hotel to get to the church and stuff. And so she experienced that on two trips. She said, ooh, how y'all do it? Ooh, ooh. You know, I said, I told her this. I said, I'm called to do this.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You just filling in. Praise the Lord. So you just filling in. I said, you know, so, you know, you used to stand at home, take care of the home front.
Yes.
But, you know, the traveling, the going, I said, it's no struggle for us. You know, sometimes, you know, you around the airport and you got to stay, you got to wait around at 3 hours and stuff. But God give us a grace for it.
Amen.
Because we're helping apostle to build that which God has told him. So in doing that, God is raising up people to help me complete what he told me to do.
Amen.
But guess what? All the people, that's why I got a bunch of people in here from my church. I got alumni. I got, you know, Cotton. When you graduated?
15.
15. When you graduated?
16.
When you graduated?
16.
When you graduated? It's been. You hadn't graduated yet. Well, I don't know. We're gonna let you graduate. Laura, when you graduated?
16.
When you graduated?
16.
All right. Marguerite, when you graduated? Okay, all right. Marion?
2001.
2001, all right. Madonna, when you?
2010.
Oh, okay, all right. See, most of the people that's helping me, that's why they're in the School of Ministry.
Yes,
most, we've had a lot of people that have come through the School of Ministry, and their job is to come and to, so they can understand the apostolic, so they can help me to fulfill what God called me to do.
Amen.
And as they see my faithfulness to the apostle, they're faithful to me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here you go, Mitch.